Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have a very beautiful gospel concerning the centurion. And it's beautiful because of its simplicity. And it's also beautiful because I think that we can find ourselves in this account, and we can find a path that leads to salvation through the example of the centurion. And so it begins, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. So here we have a centurion, and there's a great deal of meaning that we have to find in it. And he is a centurion, is a commander of a group of soldiers, which was traditionally 100 soldiers. And a sentry, of course, is one of the 100, and the centurion is the leader of the soldiers. And so we can imagine quite quickly that his life was complicated, and that he was involved in worldly things. And yet, somehow or other, he was called to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not revealed to us in the gospel. But in reality, what happened is the divine light shining forth from the Savior, which is not encumbered by trees and mountains and buildings. It passes through them to the hearts of men. And so it is, the divine light anointed and called the centurion to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And when the Savior said to him, I will come and heal him, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And here we see, amazingly, the centurion understands the complexity of his life. He is not worthy. And in saying he's not worthy, he has profound humility before our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would have profound humility in the presence of God that manifests itself in this holy church and through the teachings of our holy church. And also in this, in his saying he's not worthy, he recognizes the divinity of Christ. So here he is, he's looking at Christ, and he realizes, I'm not worthy to be in his presence. And obviously in recognition, although it doesn't say it in the gospel, he sees the power and divinity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has hope in him. What's also fascinating about this is that the centurion has a servant who's sick. And so one of the other characteristics that he has is not only did somehow or other the light of Christ shine upon him, but it shows that he had compassion and caring for his servant, and which obviously was something that our Lord could grasp hold of and draw him close to him. And so here he has this. The centurion replies, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And in this we see this absolute faith. Just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And he goes on, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And so here this centurion is looking at his worldly circumstances, and it's amazing because he's the commander of a 100 soldiers. But then above him there's another commander and another commander and so on. So he's boxed into this life. And we can all, I think we can identify even in our own lives in the world. This is where we live. We live in this zone. And what's fascinating about it is the centurion obviously had some sense that in this position that he had, this position of authority, where servants obeyed him and soldiers obeyed him, and the complexity of being in the army and from time to time being called to the front for battle, that he understood that in some sense he was bound by his life to make decisions that could easily lead to harm and death. And he could even, and also that he would make decisions which, when he reflected on them, he'd realize they were wrong decisions. And here we are. Are we not ourselves in this position in relationship to the world where it is our responsibility to make profound and deep decisions within the context of our worldly life? And yet we know that from time to time, the decisions we make were the wrong decision, and they bring about difficulties and harm. And so it is that we see that not only does the centurion have compassion for his servant, but he understands the complexity of his life. And he recognizes in Christ a spiritual authority. And he, in the spiritual authority he recognizes, in his humility and his faith and his compassion for his servant, unite him to the Savior. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Truly I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. I think this is amazing because we all have all these obediences and things that we need to do in the world. And we know that we do not always perform with compassion, with love, and so on, or with even making the right decisions. And the Savior says, "Go thy way." That is, continue as a centurion. So what it means is that God is covering us. That's what it means. And it means that his forgiveness is sufficient to compensate for the mistakes that we make if we have humility, and if we have compassion, and if we have love, and we have right intention, that is to do what is right at all times, and yet make mistakes and are embroiled in things that are complicated. Our Savior will be with us because his love. And the Savior says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so here he's speaking to the Jews, but also to all of us. And why will there be this judgment? And the reason, I think, is revealed in a sense in the life of the centurion. Because we lack compassion. Because we lack humility. Because we lack love. And because we lack a deep and profound faith in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just to conclude, what I think what all of us need to do is we all need to evaluate our lives daily, weekly, monthly, and ask the question whether or not we are responding to the love and that God has shined upon us. Are we responding? I mean, do we in fact live a life through prayer and keeping the obediences of the church, the divine services, and the way we conduct ourselves? Do we live a life that actually confesses that we know our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we have him living within us? Are we living that life? And also in relationship to our responsibilities in our community? Are we, in fact, living a life in which we actually take responsibility for the body of Christ? This is the body of Christ. And do we take responsibility for the body? Do we labor with our brothers and sisters in all of the things that a church community must do, all of the necessary activities and simple things like cleaning the church and providing for the lunch after church and tithing to the church and giving so that we can support the church? Are we keeping our obediences? And I ask this question because the Savior has this notion, he puts forth this notion, that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall weeping and gnashing be. And you think about it. This is, and of course, he's talking to the Jews who didn't accept Christ, but he's talking to all of us, to all of us. And what it means really is, he's saying, I have loved you. I have forgiven you. I walk with you in all the circumstances of your life. I understand the complexity. I compensate for all of the things that you do wrong, the bad judgments. I do all of this for you on a daily basis. I draw you into communion with myself. I have given you, through baptism and life in Christ, eternal life. I've done all of this for you. And the question is, will you be faithful to me? Will you honor the gift? And will you honor the gift giver and give your lives to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in a way that he sees as a sacrifice? Sacrifice. Remember, he was sacrificed on the cross. He gave all. Everything that he had. He gave his life, his blood, his will, everything that he had, he gave for our salvation. And we, what do we give in return to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? May the Lord enlighten our hearts and minds and fill us with compassion and charity and generosity, and may he lead us on the path and protect us from all of the forces of the world that try to ensnare us, and protect us from all of the mistakes that we make along the way, always turning to our Lord in humility and in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.